opportunity to share the podium with another member of the three-headed monster, I guess. And thank you all for attending and your interest. And just to reiterate very briefly what Jules said, please consider those of you who are not members of the API to take a look at the membership information, take a look at the website. There's a lot of synergy between this meeting as well as the AP Triple I meeting to be held in August of this year and the organization. I intend to speak a little bit today about how we manage information when multiple laboratories serve an integrated delivery network. And the outline briefly is I'll first frame the problem, actually problems, examine some options for potential solutions from both a strategic and also very technical or kind of detailed level as well, and then spend some time examining the electronic medical record abbreviation you'll see throughout as EMR again, as the integrating engine for laboratory information, and also examine the challenges for presenting laboratory data from different labs in an integrated fashion, and then spend the end of the time presenting some illustrative examples. So, you know, the word integrate gets thrown around quite a bit. I just thought as a reset, as an introduction, we could talk about the definition. An integrate is to form, coordinate, or blend into a functioning, emphasis on functioning, presumably appropriately functioning, and or unified whole. And therefore, an integrated delivery network, the definition I'll use or think of is the providers, agencies, and or institutions that work together to provide coordinated services to a patient population across the spectrum of healthcare. So, of course, a component of this would be multiple laboratories. Now, when multiple laboratories serve an integrated delivery network, they could be arranged or they could function anywhere along a spectrum of integration. And on, I think I don't have a pointer, but at the left end, all the way from basically independent laboratory operations at different labs within that network to at the other end on the right side, completely standardized and integrated laboratory operations, which may or may not be primarily housed at a centralized location. That's not necessary. And then somewhere in the middle where there is some uniformity or maybe some referral work in which the laboratories within that network share specimens through different business relationships. So begin to frame the problem. We first must look at the goal. What is our goal? We've talked about it at great length at this conference. You're all familiar. But the ultimate goal is to of a lab is to provide results and interpretations to clinicians in a way that's effective for patient care decision making. And that's no longer, as you all know, the paper report. It's no longer even electronic access to LISs. And that's where the problem is in our IDNs, because clinicians need an integrated longitudinal view of patient data regardless of the source of those or sources of that and those data. And IDNs have multiple laboratories with disparate legacy systems and non-standardized methods that impact all of which, you know, are obstacles, all of which impact our ability to provide the ultimate goal, the ultimate need for delivery of care to our patients, which is that integrated view of information. Another hurdle and challenge that I want to talk about as well is that laboratory information management data flows follow to a great extent the laboratory organizational integration in that, you know, and the installation of an LIS and whether you're standardized on a single LIS platform only gets part of the issue. And really how laboratory work is defined and organized, the administrative structure of the laboratories, how they relate to one another, of course, impacts not only the ultimate ability to integrate information, but also intra-laboratory decisions for how tests and data are structured. It's a very simple diagram to kind of illustrate the concept. Clinician users, they're depicted on the upper left, interact with lab data through an EMR. And actually, a more accurate diagram for some IDNs, including ours at this point, would be actually multiple EMRs, multiple legacy EMRs, which may be installations of the same product or different products. And then individual labs have either different or either the same or, in this stylized example, different LISs. So there's multiple layers. All right, so drilling into the problems in a excuse me, and Again, I make the point here, some of these are more strategic and some of these are very tactical and granular as they relate literally to display of information on the screens that the clinicians are interacting with. Well, some of the problems relate to the fact that different labs will have different test methods and different test methodologies, which lead to different reference ranges for the same analyte, and this result must carry with it its reference range into the medical record. Different units of measure potential for the same analyte that is testing for which is performed in different laboratories. There are other reporting elements, meaning pieces of data that must be available to the clinician in the reports, things we take for granted in years gone by. But the performing lab location must be available, and that's whether it's a different lab or if you have to specify in your medical record which IDN lab that result came from. Doctor has to know whom to call, plus it's a federal regulation that this information has to be available in the report, whether it's paper or electronic. But also, of course, as we've done for years on our paper reports, how we include the send-out test information location as well. Abnormal result flags, critical value flags, footnote or comment flags, and I'll illustrate some of the points to make about these and issues that arise later in the talk. Other issues related really to display and technical handling of the information are, you know, how are results grouped in a cumulative, when you're dealing with a cumulative result display format. So, and I have some examples of this later, but when you have to group tests, what go under the hematology tab? What goes under the chemistry tab? Is there a separate tab for coagulation? Is there a separate tab for, you know, specialized immunochemistry? How are those decisions made? How is that presented, and is it done in a uniform manner? Test batteries or groups, that's kind of related. All of our labs perform within the clinical laboratory batteries or groups of tests. Some EMRs do better jobs than others being able to keep these together when you're defining the display of these test results. And if you're not careful, you can end up with orphaned elements that don't end up in the right place and really do go with other aspects of the battery. Again, I have illustrative examples later. Availability of outside reference laboratory reports, that is, your send-outs that aren't received back in electronic form. Test names and code conventions, achieving uniformity on those, and the necessity for uniformity. The definition of sensitive test results, does every lab in your system define the same test for quote-unquote sensitive? Needless editorial on my part is that I don't know the difference between a sensitive and non-sensitive result if we really are handling lab data in the way it should be handled, but some of us take special needs and sometimes we're required to take special steps for HIV results, maybe other sexually transmitted diseases, other genetic tests. Are they handled uniformly across your system? And also the uniformity on the order entry side, the uniformity of order sets, meaning the tests that are grouped for display on the order entry screens for clinicians to choose. Is there uniformity in what is displayed there, not only the composition, but what the tests are named on those screens? As I said, I also want to emphasize some of the organizational or administrative aspects, cultural aspects of the problems. Some of those are listed here. The more legacy systems that you have, whether it be IVD platforms, in different laboratories that have chosen different methodologies, or whether it be different information systems that exist in different laboratories, this presents an obvious integration hurdle. Strategically, what is the congruence of the strategies on several levels? Is there congruence between what the leadership expects out of LIS strategy across the system, for EMR strategy across the system, meaning what's going to be installed where and in what time frame, and are there conflicts? But also, that goes hand-in-hand, as I mentioned, with the lab operational strategy. If you have completely independently functioning laboratories, that presents challenge for trying to install multi-facility lab software across the system. Decision-making, both at the strategic level for some of the issues I just mentioned, but also the granular level when we talk about who makes a decision, what panel or what person makes a decision for how reference ranges are displayed, or other elements of the very specific elements of display, which, again, have great impact for the clinicians who are looking at these screens for their results and decisions. And outreach testing strategy and revenue flow. You know, the middle of that spectrum slide that I showed had indicated some intra-system sharing of tests. Well, what are the arrangements? How do your information systems handle the billing and revenue flow that's necessary, let alone just the specimen tracking and report tracking when specimens are shared or referred within your system? So that's framing the problem on a number of different levels. So let's talk about some potential solutions. We'll go through each of these again, recognizing that these do overlap and none of these solves all of the problems, and that's what I'll develop. Well, you can standardize your LIS using multi-facility software, which is available from most, if not all, LIS vendors. You can standardize laboratory operations and methods across the system, and or you can standardize the electronic medical record across the IDN. So to go back to our kind of base case here, where you have one or more EMRs, or in older terms, and some legacy systems still function as a little more as hospital information systems and are a portal for results, that are served by one or more LISs in one or more laboratories. So the first solution is to standardize the LIS using multi-facility software, where all of the labs share a single platform. There are allowances in these systems, of course, to account for local variation in testing methodology, and that means that while some problems are solved, especially with respect to handling different platforms, it doesn't solve organizational or operational issues entirely either. Dr. Workman, who's now at Sutter Health, published a very, I think, powerful and interesting article, which back in 2000, based on his experience and leadership at St. Francis Hospital in Pittsburgh, that showed the utility and effectiveness of implementing a standardized LIS across a health system, across laboratories in the health system, and showed how this LIS was the key component of an IDN-wide lab service redesign. He established metrics for quantifying the value and showed that, again, as the main driver being an LIS standardization, was able to save a return on that investment $3 million over the first 3 years. And very interestingly, in this paper, contrasted and kind of used as ammunition for the case of the importance of the LIS, other IDS consolidation projects that failed or did not realize the full savings available, largely, if not entirely, due to the failures involved in integrating the LIS implementation and completing the LIS implementation successfully. And it's a very interesting paper, and I commend you to it. And he, though, in the article also points out, and this is a recurring theme as well, as I mentioned, the importance of organizational aspects here, and that a fully, and it summarized nicely in this quote, a fully implemented LIS is considered the major enabler of positive change, but when combined with genuine commitment from all levels of leadership and staff. So the standardized LIS solution solves some but not all of the problems. It certainly solves the problems of different vendors, different systems, different databases, different interface specifications, all of which consume overhead, people, time, and technical resources. But it does not solve operational issues which lead to different data elements such as test methods, test codes, reference ranges, units, performing lab locations, instrument interfaces, different fee schedules for that sharing within your system. All of that has to be managed regardless of whether you're on one LIS or not. It doesn't solve independence of lab operations and cultures. That's not necessarily a problem. Maybe in a given IDN, it's just most appropriate to have different labs, each of which has their own culture. And it certainly doesn't solve the problem of different medical records and solve the fundamental problem of being able to present the integrated view of lab results to ordering clinicians across an IDN. So let's look at the second solution, and that's to standardize laboratory operations and methods. The goal would be to establish uniform testing methodologies, uniform administrative oversight across the laboratories in the IDN. And it may or may not involve consolidation into a core lab or a single large testing center. This could just be standardization across the broader system. There's a recent article in CLMR from the Mayo Group which described their experience very effectively, again, a good article. And they described how a unified view of lab data was a driver for test standardization. Their goal was to standardize and integrate chemistry and immunochemistry testing platforms across the Mayo IDN, which is a series of very diverse laboratories. And the driving forces specifically cited were assure uniform quality. Of course, the cost was kind of implicit cost savings, but also specifically to compare results across the entire system. So there is a specific informatics and data management component to this. And the main goal was stated is so that as patients transfer between Mayo facilities, physicians can track, trend, and interpret patient results, which also decreases the need for repeat testing, i.e. when patients show up to a different facility. Interestingly, they also stressed the importance of understanding and taking into account organizational culture and some of these cultural skills, sometimes called soft skills or talents, which really aren't, because they're often critical to the success of these projects. And the key success factors were team philosophy, trust, and recognition of differences. And I love this quote: the project requires skills that are not taught in most medical schools, residencies, fellowships, or medical technology schools, which means it's not always, physicians or med techs. That in and of itself doesn't qualify you to have a successful laboratory integration, nor does technology itself qualify you to buying the best system will qualify you as having the or enable you to have a successful lab integration. Things like change management, team building, conflict resolution, negotiation, and strategic planning actually ended up being the emphasis of this very good article. Okay, to summarize what standardizing lab operations and methods does for you, well, that solves the problems, theoretically, of differences in test methods, test codes, reference ranges, units, and instrument interfaces. So if you dump this into an EMR, you can assume some level, higher level of standardization. It does not, and it also it reduces the independence of operations and differences in culture across laboratories. It doesn't solve the fact that you still have to account for different lab locations when you're reporting your information, and it doesn't solve, again, the key point of our mission, which is to provide an integrated view of lab results to the clinicians. So further to that last point, the final solution that I'll discuss is standardizing the medical record across the IDN. The goal is to provide that uniform view. Now, in the best case, that would also go hand in hand with a common patient identifier across the health system. That really makes things a lot easier. Not easy, but certainly facilitates sharing of information across multiple sites if you have a common registration system or number. Well, that doesn't always happen either, because again, you're still dealing with legacy systems, legacy operations, independent operations. So deployment of a master patient index enables data sharing across an IDN when you don't have a common patient identifier, and that's illustrated briefly here. So the idea would be to install, and this is actually the strategy that we're pursuing in our health system, is install the same EMR over time, naturally, at the different sites, the different hospitals, but have those have kind of overlaying or throughout this, a master patient index that serves the entire system. And what happens is that the different legacy medical record numbers in use at the different sites are cross-referenced through that master index. And this enables an integrated view of patient data across all sites to be presented as inquiries and updates filter through this master patient index to enable display, and again, that cross-referencing function for tests, for instance, that are performed at site 3 to be available when a physician signs on and looks up a patient at site 1. So the standardization of the medical record solves certainly the biggest problem from the clinician's perspective, from our client's perspective, and that's that it presents a uniform patient's perspective, because that provides a uniform integrated view of laboratory information. But it doesn't solve a number of things we've already talked about, and this is the points to reemphasize really to hospital leadership, hospital and institutional administrators who, as Bruce alluded to, do not comprehend the complexity of laboratory operations and are surprised, for instance, that when you have a cholesterol test that's performed in multiple different laboratories, you have to account for that in the way that it's handled in your EMR. And it's not just a simple plug and play all the time. It doesn't solve the overhead associated with different LIS vendor systems, databases, and interface specs. It doesn't solve different, as I alluded to, test methods, codes, reference ranges, units, lab locations, instrument interfaces, and fee schedules. And in isolation, doesn't address independence of operations in different laboratories. So much of the remainder of the talk, I want to illustrate some of the problems that I mentioned and outlined earlier as they relate to the display of laboratory information in a medical record. Some of this being very granular, but some of which is easily overlooked, and all of which I think is in the domain of what laboratory and pathology informaticians and laboratory staff need to be cognizant of and need to be involved in and need to be stressing so that clinicians looking at these data do not have difficulty or have trouble interpreting them or questions with how things are displayed. So this is an example of a cumulative result display in our electronic medical record system, and there's two points to illustrate, one of which is is illustrated over in the left-hand column, which displays what we call the results tree. That's what I was talking about earlier in terms of a determination has to be made how tests are going to be grouped, and under each of those tabs, it explodes into the different components of what goes under a chemistry, as you can see, the calcium, magnesium, and the like. Well, that's not always agreed upon, and different laboratories may not have set this up entirely the same way. In addition, clinicians might have certain ways that they expect things to be displayed. For instance, we've made the determination that coagulation testing has a different tab under hematology. Some labs might not make the same determination because there is overlap, and you can argue sometimes where different tests belong. Should there be a separate component for urine, or should urine chemistries be just under the general chemistry tab? The other point that I want to make is illustrated, well, I guess a couple points. Number one is, even though these EMRs are obviously very sophisticated, the display is not as rich as the reports that we used to send out on paper. It's not an argument to send out on paper, but it needs to be taken into account. To save real estate, you don't see any reference ranges displayed there. I'll show you how you get to the reference range. And there's also a toggle that you can turn on the reference range, but clinicians aren't going to do that because it eats up the real estate. So they'll have to be trained on how to get to the reference range, another element of laboratory involvement, by the way. But also note the exclamation points in isolation and without appropriate training or understanding. What do the exclamation points mean? Well, here, that's the marker for out of range, abnormal value or out of the reference range. Well, this was the previous iteration that we were presented of with this screen, and it's a display with too many flags. But before I get into the flags, note the left-hand column also. This is more or less what it kind of looked like under the box, and see where it says blood and urine and all those different cultures? That illustrates the point I was making about these are different components. Some of these have become orphans from where they belong in the micro tab. It's a very ambiguous display. And these are displaying, for instance, a culture name. It becomes an individual result in this system the way it was originally designed out of the box. All our components of microbiology tests became individual test results, which really doesn't make any sense when you think about it. Now, with respect to too many flags, compared to what we showed previously, we have blue, we have italics, we have asterisks on every test result. Well, it turns out the asterisk is supposed to mean that there's interpretive information or comment, like lipemic specimen, or maybe a test performed that comment. Well, clearly there's something else going on in the EMR that's putting an asterisk next to every lab test. Well, if a clinician sees an asterisk every lab test, they're not going to look up the comments. They're going to say, well, it's just some housekeeping thing. I'm not looking up and clicking on every number. And they're going to miss important information for whenever a footnote and a comment really belongs there. In addition, I never quite figured out what blue and italic meant and what differentiated that from black and non-italic. And again, when that's presented to a doc trying to get his or her work done, that becomes confusing. It's not implicit. This will pop up in a second. So the way we get the way that the reference range gets displayed, because again, that key element is that that reference range has to be the reference range, of course, when the test was performed and from the laboratory in which it was performed. Well, the idea is that they'll click on the number and the reference range and other information will be displayed. This is also how they'll see any footnote or footnote comment information. I should also point out there's an alternate way within the medical record to get to test results kind of in a non-cumulative display, but also, you know, looking at individual results one at a time. So that's the strategy for presenting reference range information and making sure that that reference range belongs with that particular result. Bruce mentioned, and I smiled, how our results are dumbed down to be able to operate and be displayed within the medical record. And in my opinion, nowhere is that more evident in how these systems display pathology reports, surgical pathology reports. This is one from one of the hospitals in our system. And we all have, many of us have anatomic pathology LISs. Now they have very sophisticated formatting tools. We can produce beautiful reports. This is what they end up as. Our reports actually look nicer than this. You know, we took some time to format them so they're actually readable. We think that's a good thing in our reports to be readable. This is painful. But it's the same because a pathology report is the same as a radiology report, dietary report, respiratory therapy report. Just throw them all in under text reports. EMR vendors, in my experience, don't have any particular expertise in the nuances of the display of pathology and laboratory information, and it ends up taking its toll on what our work, how our work is displayed. There are ways around this. Eventually, you know, I think PDF-type interfaces will be the way to solve some of this problem, but it has great implications for what we do. This is an example of designed to show what happens when you have not agreement on result flags when you have different laboratories serving an IDN. Note on the right-hand side of the screen, the result flags for abnormal values are exclamation points, whereas on the left two columns, they're up arrows and down arrows. So, well, to laboratories, that's obvious. You know, those values are high or low. Well, that's going to be confusing to the clinicians and other people using this. And actually, it got much worse when we surveyed our IDN, just a sampling of five different legacy systems and then a web access capability. Maybe not the most effective presentation of this, but the point is, at site one, high was a single arrow and low was a single arrow. Critical highs were double arrows. And any non-numeric was an exclamation point. Well, at site two, all abnormal results had exclamation points. Site three, all abnormal results had asterisks, which becomes confusing if you're going to use the asterisk to tell the doctor there's a footnote there. At site four, well, here we have H and L, but then we have HY and LY for critical high and low. Not sure. For site 5, we have a greater than or less than sign for high and low. And for web access, we have for critical high and low, we have asterisk H and asterisk L. So, you know, even in the best design and with the best laid plans and best intentions, because I'm sure there are very reasonable decisions for each of these being made at the individual institutions, but it ends up being a mess. You try to deal with this feeding an EMR. Our health system is divided into regions. During the implementation process, we realized that we kind of now have it down to a little more standardization, and ultimately this will be standardized. But again, even much of the way through the project, we still had two regions using the up arrows and one region using all the exclamation points. We are going to standardize on, you know, what region 1 and 3 has right now. I just show kind of for interest and fun some of the legacy EMR results this week that we had. Pointing out multiple legacy EMR systems in our network, in our health system. And it just kind of shows you what, and it's not, well, I don't know, it's not meant to criticize any one system, but rather to illustrate, you know, some of the limitations we deal with lab results. Like, for instance, in the first one, why is that column so big and the results are all the way over on the right side with all the blank space? And those reference ranges are probably either the most recent reference range or they're built into some table somewhere and are static, which does not meet the requirements. The lower end is an even older system, and most of the real estate is taken up by the reference range with no emphasis one way or the other. Here we have the asterisk for the abnormals, and we have a T. I don't know what the T means, but I'm assuming it means like a footnote or a comment. And then this is another one, again, much probably more effective because there's more on one screen and you have good filtering mechanisms. But again, things like reference ranges and are displayed readily. I'm sure you can click through to get them. It also speaks to, again, that training element of people need to use the system because it's not flat. It's not two-dimensional. People have to know to get to the information they need. And again, it's not to point out that any of those are worse than any others. The point is that even for simple numeric information, which is what these EMR vendors love to show when they give it them, when we were involved in our RFP process, well, we can, here's a CBC. That's a lab. That's the quintessential lab result, a CBC, which is about the easiest lab result to display, which is numbers in a line. Ask them for a micro or a coag panel or a protein electrophoresis or display. I talked briefly about performing lab location. Seemingly a trivial point, but it's not, especially if you read the CFR, because it has to be available. And just for good patient care, if you have multiple laboratories sending results to one kind of portal for the doc, maybe they have a question. You kind of want them, not that you have to put the phone number, but you kind of want them to be able to know whom they have to get in contact with if they have a question. This is the display that I mentioned. It does a better job of keeping the batteries together. And this is often what they're viewing when our docs pull up something in their inbox. Well, the lab location can be gotten to by clicking the hyperlink, and my arrow got stuck behind the bottom one. But the top image has a hyperlink where it says lab and collection. You click on that, and this is the test system. So it just says West Side Internal Lab. And that's really a translation from the HL7 message from the interface message from where that's being received and being translated through a combination of our interface engine and some of the work in the EMR system to display a more or less a coded comment that illustrates the lab name and address. That doesn't solve the problem, though. The EMR still has to be able to display for send-out tests, and typically that'll be included in your test result comment that comes out and is embedded in that HL7 message. Test performed that Mayo, if you send it out to Mayo or ARUP or one of the other ones. It could arguably lead to a little ambiguity as to what the performing lab is if this is coming out of the interface message and you have a different one, in the test comment. But that can usually be, that's somewhat intuitive. In worst case, they call the lab that sent the test out. But it does bring up the point about outside reference laboratory reports or our send-out. And, clinicians require access to these test reports just like any other test report. Sometimes even they have greater interest because these are often esoteric tests of high importance. And for interface labs, so if you send it out to a lab to which you're interfaced, these results will flow back electronically through your LIS and ultimately through your EMR. But the problem is interfaces to all referral labs. Oh, thank you. That's showing up. Well, I think I'm almost done with the diagrams anyway. Simple results can be manually entered into your LIS, and from there they get into the electronic medical record through your interface. That's fine. Maybe even for simple labs, though, you could argue that's not the best solution because it's a keystroking step and it's a resource utilization step. Someone has to take time to do that. And some reports aren't even a candidate for that. Since these are esoteric and sometimes complex, often molecular or genomic testing, these results may have charts, tables, graphs, images with them that can't get into a legacy LIS for that matter, let alone be typed with any level of confidence that an error won't be made. So scanning these directly into the medical record system may be an option. But again, this is an area where the laboratory kind of has to take control. And there are some specific considerations. We're evaluating the best way to do that right now for our EMR. This is something we haven't quite solved, but I think we have a solution brewing. But what is the method of indexing? By that, I mean what information gets entered along with the scanned image and gets passed with that scanned image to the EMR, or gets entered into, presumably you might be entering these directly into the EMR through scanning. How is it indexed? are going to include the patient name, the patient date, the report type, et cetera. And related to that is, what is the method of access in the EMR? Will the docs be able to get to these by looking at the, where they would find other pending lab results, or will these scanned documents be under a separate tab somewhere that they'll know and to which they'll be directed? Which isn't a problem. It's maybe a little less convenient, but again, these aren't high volume, and they'll be delighted to have them in the medical record as opposed to floating around somewhere on paper. Can the scanning system keep multiple pages of multiple page reports together, i.e. is it true document management and not just a picture of an individual page? Because oftentimes these are multiple pages. It's not a given that the multiple pages will stick together. You need a quality assurance of the scanning process, meaning the people scanning it in have to be able to see that they did it right, that they didn't cut off half the report, or that it's not centered somehow before they release it. How are corrected and amended reports handled? If you get an update or a corrected report from your reference laboratory, how is that handled? You can scan it in, but what happens to the original report in your EMR system? Is it overwritten? Is there that original record kept? All the things we typically do with corrected reports. And also, who scanned it in? Audit trail information also has to be captured. So it's not just a matter, I've got an email request. Why can't you just scan a report into an email and send it to me, and I'll paste it into the EMR? Well, that would be a mess. And it's not so simple as just, okay, slap a report on a scanner and find a place to put it in the EMR. You want to control the process. There was a recent paper in the Journal of the American Medical Informatics Association by Dr. Bennett and his colleagues at Intermountain, which have actually built a system to help them address this problem for transplant patients across their very geographically diverse and extensive laboratory network and integrated delivery network. And it was specifically related to information about transplant patients, follow-up transplant patients, their drug levels especially. And they actually built a system to key in, but not to key in the results, but rather to make sure that coded data from all of the tests, coded and structured data from the individual test results, all were entered into the repository in a uniform manner. What this gets you over scanning is you can arrange those individual data elements in different views, and it makes those discrete data elements available for use in rule-based decision support that are looking for individual data fields for which to fire criteria. So it's a really neat solution. Obviously, it's very targeted to a need, it's an interesting way of addressing this problem. So I begin to wrap up here with just some back to kind of the organizational aspects of this after having looked at data displays and more technical elements. excuse me. There are some tactics that can be effective. And even though these aren't always easy and maybe not even attainable, and certainly we haven't done all of this perfectly either, but the goals are there. And first and best thing you can do is build your ties to the people in charge of the EMR project or the EMR support, especially those who are responsible for the handling of the data, because they're not going to come and look for you typically. And one of the most effective ways to do this is when you get a call from a doc who is angry about something, that the way the results are being displayed or managed, or when your lab itself uncovers something that's a problem, take the time to print these out, use screen caps, provide specific examples. Just like when you're presented with a problem that's a laboratory problem, you have a specific example, you can troubleshoot that a lot better and learn from it. Take the time to provide these specific examples of explanations of problems when they arise and why it's an issue. To the extent possible, engage interested physicians and work with them to influence the EMR changes. Sometimes they'll carry a lot of weight in an organization because they're the ones who have to use the system to see the patients they have to see. And by doing these and by otherwise engaging, demonstrate the value to the EMR staff of having domain expertise or the lab subject matters experts involved in the process, because you can show them that this will help prevent problems for them, get people off their backs, and ultimately improve patient care. So the summary of the talk is that managing information from multiple labs in IDN is a challenge. It's because disparate legacy systems, non-standardized methods challenge the ability to provide clinicians the integrated view of lab information they need. And three solutions are standardization of the LIS, standardization of lab operations, and standardization of the EMR address overlapping but certainly different aspects and different issues. And the laboratory must raise institutional awareness of lab information handling issues in the EMR. So thank you very much.